Where your party station joins the world of basketball. This is the Courtside Podcast with Jake and Aiden.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Courtside Podcast with your host. I'm Jake.
And I'm Aiden.
And guys, we're going to be talking about the NBA and their recent news. And then we're going to also talk about some college basketball and some of the teams that we think are doing great right now in the season. So let's start off with the NBA. We're going to start off with James Harden and a new team of the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, so pretty much we kind of gave you that inside access as soon as we found out. We kind of just hopped on, put out a quick podcast. Go check that one out if you want details on the trade. But personally, I think it was a great trade for the Nets. I feel like that's an unpopular opinion, and we could debate on that if you want, Jake. I don't know how you feel. But I just think that the Nets are now – they have so much star power on that team. I think it's going to be very hard for them to lose.
Yeah, no, I get that. The Nets are going to be a really tough team to beat, I would say. But then again, like James Harden to Brooklyn, it's going to take some time for me to get adjusted to that, to seeing him. It's kind of like all the top guys went to the East, and like LeBron left the East and went to the West, but that's another story we can talk about later. But yeah, James Harden with Brooklyn, his first game, let's talk about his like first game, right? So I don't know what you saw, but for me, like, the guy barely shot the ball in the first quarter, and I was like, okay, he's going to facilitate. And then all of a sudden, the guy erupts for 32 points with Kevin Durant having 42, and I'm like, wow, this is scary.
Well, here's my thing, right? So obviously in his first game, he finished with 32.
Yeah.
Which is a normal night for James Harden. I truly believe.
I know, but he's in like a new, it's like a new, you know, new team.
No, but I think James Harden is so good that it doesn't matter what team he is on. He could be on the Knicks and drop 30 points per game. Yeah. What kind of blew my mind, and a lot of people don't like this trade for this reason, is a lot of people think that all three of them are ball dominant. When you think of James Harden, yes, he is probably the most ball-dominant player, probably one of the most ball-dominant players of all time. But what I saw from this game and the last two games that he's played, he's had 14 assists in the first night, and then he had 12 assists the next night. So James Harden, who is still putting up over 30 points a game, is averaging 13 assists per game in his last two games.
Is that the most – like, are those the most assists like he's had?
No. No, like, and I tried talking about this.
Like, the question I'm asking is, was he averaging that much assist in Houston?
Well, obviously, he only played two games so far with the Nets, but over eight games with the Rockets, he did average 10.5 assists.
Okay.
So what I think a lot of people don't look at is they look at Harden scoring-wise, but they don't look at him as such a well-rounded player.
It's like a shoot-first kind of guy.
And what I truly think, and if people watch the game against the Bucks, I don't think Harden needs to be the last shot guy like he was in Houston. Obviously, we've seen many clips. One that comes to my mind is when he was triple teamed. I remember Klay Thompson was on him. Draymond Green was on him. And he kind of just pulled up from almost half court.
Oh, was that when he made that like 4-point play?
He made
play?
It. He was hit over. He was laying down. I think he hit it with a second left.
What about the time he was like double teamed and got fouled, and it was like a 4-point play, like crazy, crazy, crazy play.
Even like that. But like, I just don't think he needs to be the guy to shoot the last shot. And what I was getting at with the Bucks game, obviously he shot it. He missed. He got his own rebound, gave it to Kevin Durant, who hit the game winning shot. So I think Harden is going to be great for this team because I think he's going to get his points no matter what he does. But also what I like is he can facilitate the ball.
Yeah.
I think that was a big worry by a lot of people.
So we're going to see the return of like Kyrie, right? Which we'll go over later. But how do you think that's going to work with James Harden, Kyrie, and Durant?
Well, you know what? Let's just move on to it now.
Well, I just want to say, you know, Steve Nash, I feel like his whole philosophy now with having these three stars is always to have like at least one of them on the court. So this Nets team, then again, like if we go back to what we were saying, this just makes him more deadly.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I truly don't believe there is a single team in the NBA that can guard all three of them when they're all on the court.
But then again, we don't know how they play all together as three, like the big three.
Well, I think they're all going to play extremely well. The thing is, the toughest part is obviously Kyrie hasn't played yet.
Yeah.
But it depends on what role Kyrie can take.
But they're all ball dominant.
But like I was trying to say, Harden is going to get his points no matter what. So that's why I think it could work.
But how's that going to, how do you think that's going to face up with Kyrie and Durant? If one of them we've seen, I thought, you know, Harden was going to score anyway. He was going to score his 30 or 40 points, whatever he puts up a game. I didn't think that like Durant would put up more than Harden actually in that game, the first game. But I'm just wondering how it's going to work with Kyrie now, because the guy, I actually believe that Kyrie can score anytime he wants. I think he's one of the best scoring point guards in the NBA.
I don't love Kyrie. I've never been a huge Kyrie fan.
But I'm talking
about
the scoring aspect, though.
I think all three of them can score whenever they have their ball in the hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
But one thing I'm pointing out, in the last two games, Harden has played over 40 minutes.
Oh, really? Okay.
When Kyrie is back, he's not playing 40 minutes. Like, let's be real. When he was on the Rockets, yeah, he played 38, 39, 38. That's what I think is going to be the biggest difference. I'm not going to see all of them play 40 minutes a game. Like Kevin Durant played 40 and then 36 against the Bucks.
Yeah.
It depends on coaching, one. So it depends on how Steve Nash is going to run it. But how many minutes are all these guys going to get a game?
No, you're right. That's true. I mean,
I think that's the most important.
The real question I want to ask you: who is the first option on this Brooklyn Nets team?
Kevin Durant, no doubt.
Okay.
Problem that I was going to talk about,
yeah,
is I don't think Kyrie can take the third person role, which I think he is.
You don't think
on
he can
team
like
right now? He's the third option, and I don't think he can take that person.
You don't think he can deal with it? Is that what you're saying?
No, and that's why I think he sat out very long. Obviously, and let's get into that now. Guy's been out for the last seven games with whatever he calls this.
Yeah,
I think it's disgraceful. I think if I was a teammate of Kyrie, I would stay away from him. I wouldn't want to be his friend. Like, that's how disgusting this has been.
Well, I mean, then again, the Nets did take money away from his salary. And
well, yeah, no doubt. That's what happens when you just decide to leave your team. Imagine anybody listening.
He said it was for personal reasons, in quotes. But we actually don't know fully what that means.
That's cap.
You think? Okay. Why do you think he's lying? For the people that are listening that don't understand what cap means, it's a form of lying.
I wouldn't say it's lying.
Okay.
I would just say Kyrie is doing this out of spite. I personally don't think he loved Harden coming. He knows what Harden brings to a basketball court, but Kyrie is a different animal.
Yeah.
I think Kyrie is letting down KD especially. He's letting down Steve Nash. He's letting down the entire team by not showing up.
That raises the next question for me. Do you think that Kyrie Irving should have been part of the trade to like get him out? I mean, honestly, do they really need him?
I think the Nets probably tried to get him in a trade, but who wants to take a guy that's just going to sit out for random reasons? And I definitely wouldn't. I don't care how good he is.
Yeah, and you know, it's the
I
love.
I don't care how good he is anymore.
The real
and that's
question
what I wanted to kind of move on to, Jake.
Yeah,
you're talking about how good Kyrie is. I understand how good he is, but there's more than just what he does on the basketball court.
Of course.
It's the stuff he does off the court.
It's a two process of the game. You know, you got to be able to play on the court and you got to be able to play off the court and just mind your own business off the court and make sure that you show up for games. Make sure that you show up to practices, because ultimately these guys are getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah, and getting into that part of it, I think it's disgusting. He's getting paid $30 million a year for personal reasons. That's just disgusting to me. If I was Kyrie, I would retire. I'm not even kidding.
Well, that raises my next question.
I would call it quits.
Does he really have the love of the game?
I think it's gone. I think, and I don't want to bring this up. It's obviously very sad, but the passing of Kobe Bryant obviously affected Kyrie a lot.
Yeah.
Kobe was Kyrie's icon, his legend, the guy he looked up to. Maybe that's what's affecting him right now. It's tough. Obviously, we're coming up on almost a year since Kobe Bryant has passed away. It still affects the league. A lot of people who, like Trae Young, Jason Tatum, these guys looked up to Kobe Bryant. And obviously, he was very sad. Nobody saw it coming. But I think it's affected Kyrie a lot.
And we've seen numerous NBA analysis, and I believe it was Stephen A. Smith who's on
First Take.
First Take, basically saying they wouldn't be surprised if Kyrie Irving retired. I would like to take a take on that. I would not be surprised if Kyrie Irving retired. I like Aiden said, I think the love of the game for him is gone. So we'll see what happens.
All I want to say, and then I want to move on from this, is that what Kyrie is doing right now is disgusting as a player, as a teammate, as somebody that kids look up to. This is the worst thing to ever do, to not show up to your job, to not help your teammates. That's I will never show respect to that. So if this guy just wants to keep sitting out, he's coming back tonight, but at how long? Because then another thing's going to come up and he's going to be out. I just don't think he cares enough. And I think Kevin Durant and James Harden can win a championship by themselves. Yeah. I don't think they need Kyrie anymore.
Yeah.
And I think the Nets made this trade on the purpose that they know that.
Yeah. Well, then, but, yeah, I mean, they probably did try to get rid of Kyrie Irving, but like you said, probably fell through really quickly.
Yeah, and I wanted to move on to another thing. Obviously, the NBA is, I would say it's in full swing. A lot of things are going on.
Yeah, it's been about a month.
Very early, but I wanted to kind of get your idea on this. Who do you think is in the MVP conversation right now? Who would you take if the season ended today?
I know me and you debate about this a lot, about the age factor with LeBron James, but he is really playing well as a 36-year-old. I mean, I know you say, hey, that doesn't really make a difference. But then if I had to go with someone in that race, it's got to be LeBron. Embiid's got to be up there. But then again, I see someone rising in the path of my eye. It's definitely Steph Curry.
I like that.
And here's why I say it. You know, he is making an attempt to lead the NBA in scoring right now. He's back to his old self after an injury. It's awesome to see him play. And the guy, yeah, he doesn't have Klay Thompson, look what he's doing.
I truly think the NBA is actually better to watch with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry back.
Yeah.
I just need to say that.
Yeah.
But I think you're missing on somebody, and I think this guy may win MVP.
I might have missed out on somebody.
You're missing on a couple. My top three right now, my three, I'll give you – I would say LeBron or Steph Curry.
Okay.
It's a toss-up. Number two, I would have to say Kevin Durant.
Okay.
And then number one on is obviously
right. Go on. What's it
the Slim Reaper from Denver, Nikola
Jokic. Oh, yes. But, you know, it's going to be tough to win MVP if your team is not performing to full capability. But then again.
You don't think the Nuggets are going to turn around?
Oh, without a doubt, I think they're going to turn around. But they better turn around. Like. Right now, they're not.
I think the Nuggets are going to be a top three seed in the West. I think Nikola Jokic is going to finish very close, possibly having a triple-double. Right now, he has 25 points per game, 11.5 rebounds, and 10 assists with two steals a game and a block. I think this guy's so far ahead of the pack in MVP race right now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jokic would definitely be in the top five if I had to make a list. So we'll see what happens with that. The MVP race is always up in the air. We don't know until probably like May, you can call it maybe, I guess. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but now let's move on to you talked about him, Steph Curry, carrying the squad. And his most recent game, they actually came back from a 19-point deficit to beat your team, the Lakers.
Yeah,
so
they
I wanted
did beat
to
the
talk
Lakers.
About Steph Curry and the Warriors and what you think so far.
Steph Curry's back to his old self, like I just said. He has an attempt to become the leader in scoring in the NBA. They don't have Klay Thompson. He's their first option. It's great to see him back and shooting threes and just nailing these crazy shots. His dribbling is out of this world. He's doing amazing. He's doing an amazing job with this Warriors team. And I'm proud to say that, you know what? We can see Steph Curry with a team that is not the teams that he's had in the past, and look what he's doing.
All I got to say is I think this is just a bluff. And I'm going to go into this, but I don't love the Warriors like I've been saying.
Okay.
They beat the Lakers, but they came back great. And you think you have to look at it, right? two games prior, they lost to the Pacers by 9.
The Pacers are, you know, that's another team we can talk about later, but they're very good too.
I just, like, I can't get over the fact that they actually got smoked by the Bucks and the Nets. Mm. They beat the Bulls by 1. I know it's early, but that's what's it's going to come down to that.
Yeah.
They're going to be versing all of these really good teams. I just don't think they could keep up.
Yeah.
But I want them to surprise me. They've surprised me the last
couple
of games.
Do you see them as a playoff team?
No.
Okay.
I see them falling short. I know this season, I think they're talking about like the 8, the 9, and the 10 possibly trying to get
the final
spot. Well,
now it opens up more teams since Harden left.
Yeah. But I just, like, let's look at the standings, right? Yeah. Lakers are 1 right now. They're 11-4. Yep. Jazz are 2. They're 10-4. Same as the Clippers. The Suns are 7-5. The Spurs are 8-6. Trailblazers are 8-6. And then you got the Warriors at 7-6, tied with the Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at this. You ready? I think the Pelicans make a run. I think they get into the playoffs. The Mavericks get into the playoffs. The Nuggets get into the playoffs. I think the Suns finish as like an 8 seed. I think the Jazz finish as a 4 or 5. So this is how I think it finishes out. Lakers 1, Clippers 2, yep. Nuggets 3. I think the Jazz may finish 4, Mavericks 5.
Practically like last year.
Yeah, Mavericks 5. I think the Suns could be 7. I see probably – I think the Trailblazers are going to be good this year at 6. And then you have – maybe the Warriors can get in. I think the Suns, the Warriors, the Grizzlies, they'll all fight for that.
Yeah,
last
they're all
going
to. Yeah, it's going to be a fight in the 8th seed. How about that?
And the Pelicans. So, definitely interesting. But I think I solidified my top 5. I think 6 through 8 out every year. It's just a question. But I want to move on. This is a lot of time
yeah,
we're taking
course.
Up. Let's move to college basketball, guys. So, college basketball, I've loved watching it. But something that surprised me yesterday was. I looked on my phone. I saw actually somebody put in $100,000 bet on a 4-team college parlay, one of them being Tennessee money line. So obviously when somebody drops crazy money like that, I think it's really interesting. I keep up with it. I go on to the Tennessee game and it's over and they're the 6th team in the nation. Mm-hmm. They versed an unranked Florida team and they lost by, what is that? 26.
Yeah.
They actually got smoked.
The real answer to this is, Tennessee shot 17 for 58, 29%. And from the three-point line, they shot 3 for 18, 16%. You cannot win a game shooting that poorly compared to Florida, who shot 31 for 63 field goal, 49%. And from three, they shot 6 for 19, 31%. Not that good, but field goal percentage.
I want to talk about one thing, too.
Yeah.
I truly can't believe there are some college teams in a game that shoot under 50% from the free throw line. Tennessee shot 12 of 25. If you don't know what that is, that's 48%.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
That is bad, yeah.
How do you shoot? These kids are going to school to play basketball. All you do is train and practice, and you can't even shoot 50% as a team from the free throw line. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's really bad. And Florida shot 7 for 11, 63%, which is better, 100%.
I think Tennessee just needs to get their act together. They just got embarrassed on a national stage.
Yeah, that was a bad game, without a doubt. And also, yeah. Florida controlled the rebound battle, too. It was 30-19. So,
yeah.
All that's a blowout.
Yeah,
you know, when you're
shooting, and that moves us on to what subject?
When you're shooting that well, like that's a blowout, you know.
Yeah, it is a blowout.
Of course.
How do you shoot 30%? Like that's just terrible.
They didn't even shoot 30%. They shot 29%. I know you're rounding up, but like that is horrible.
16% from 3-point line. I truly want one day we should do this and maybe post a YouTube video about it. Me and you go to a gym somewhere. Yeah. We shoot 18 times. If I can make more than 3, like. I think I can, truly. And I'm not a great basketball player.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at some of the guys in Tennessee. I see this guy, Bailey Jr., 0 for 6 from 3. 1 for 12.
23 minutes.
1 for 12 field goal and played 25 minutes. That's a big, hey now, guys, like, what?
Yeah, one guy on their team put up over 10.
1 for 12. You got guys who play 33 minutes and 3 for 10.
Yeah.
Two for seven from the free throw line.
I don't want to trash any Tennessee fans out there, but your team has to get better.
You play 33 minutes and you shoot 3 for 10 and 2 for 7 from the 3-point line. What? I'm just – and 3 turnovers.
I'm speechless. That's all I got to say.
3 turnovers.
I'm sorry for that guy that put 100K on this team, but Tennessee definitely should send that guy an apology. That's horrible.
It's bad.
Yeah, so to end this up, I wanted to talk about – obviously, I feel like we're 2 months away from really prime March Madness. Yeah. I wanted to talk about the AP Top 25, some teams that I love, some teams that Jake loves, and some teams I think are going to go far this year. So do you want to start or you want me to start?
I can start. I'm going to go right off the bat, and I'm going to say for a lot of the teams out there in the Top 25, watch out for the Crimson Tide. Alabama is 11-3, and they're under
12-3 now. 12-3
now. Sorry, my bad.
They're on 8-game win streak.
They are undefeated in the SEC. All right, they are led by a SEC Player of the Week, John Perry Jr. 20 points, about five rebounds a game. This team is deadly. They're number 14. Watch out for them. They're coming.
They're number 14?
No, not number 4. They're number 14 in the power rankings. I would not say the top 25, but I'm saying watch out for them.
Wow. Yeah, I love Alabama. I've actually been seeing – I think they smacked down Kentucky a while ago. But one team, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. I love the Texas Longhorns.
Texas had a tough loss against Texas.
Very
Tech.
Tough. I watched it. Mac McClung.
McClung, yeah.
Practically with a game winner.
I really do like seeing Mac McClung, though, like playing to his standards right now. You know, that guy was so hyped up in high school, and look what he's doing at Texas Tech, a top team. So,
yeah.
Props to him.
So Texas is just – I feel like they've just been dominating all year. The one problem I have not looking at the Kansas game where they smoked Kansas, but they've lost to two other ranked teams. Obviously, like I said, they just lost on the buzzer beater to Texas Tech on the 13th. But even going back to December, they lost by 4 to Villanova, who is the number 3 ranked team.
Yeah.
I think Texas is going to be extremely good. I want to see how they play against Baylor. They play Baylor on February 2nd. I want to see how they play out. But other than that, I think the end of their schedule is tough. On February 20th, 22nd, and 27th, they verse all ranked teams, which I think is great because they go straight into March with that. But I think Texas may be my dark horse this year.
I just want to say one thing for the listeners out there. Kentucky, Duke, and North Carolina are unranked.
I think that's the first
the last
time
that happened was 1961. So, you know, Duke just came off a loss yesterday against Pitt. They lost by 6 points. Duke is now 5-4. They were a top 10 team preseason, if I'm not wrong.
I think they were.
And, you know, I don't know. I think COVID has a lot to do with it, but they're just not playing well. One other team that I want to talk about, they were not ranked. Florida State should be ranked. They came off a big win against NC State and a win over North Carolina. Kind of blowouts, I guess, if you want to say. 32-point home win against NC State.
That's
a 7-point win against North Carolina and a 13-point win against Louisville, who was ranked. So Florida State is definitely a team that you got to watch out for. Scotty Barnes is a great freshman on that team, and Florida State should be ranked, so I would not be surprised if they become ranked in the next couple weeks or next week when the polls come out next Monday.
Yeah, and the last team I wanted to talk about, all my Michigan people out there, the Michigan Wolverines are dangerous.
What?
They're just mauling people.
You know,
all they do is
maul but people. They got absolutely destroyed.
Yeah, but you
against
okay,
Minnesota.
Right? Let's talk about this. I wanted you to bring that up, right? On the 16th, if you didn't see, Minnesota beat them pretty bad, 75-57. If you literally look 10 days prior, they beat them 82-57. Yeah. Maybe it was just a bad day.
I mean, Minnesota also beat Iowa, Michigan State, and Ohio State. So they've beaten.
I think Michigan and Texas are going to be extremely good. Obviously, Gonzaga and Baylor, I think, are on just different levels.
Do you think anybody's going to catch Gonzaga? I mean, yes, they play in a weak conference, but then again, they prove themselves with the first couple weeks that they play like these top teams. And then when it comes March Madness, they actually do really well. So
I see nobody catching them. I think their closest game of the season will be this West Virginia game. But they even beat Iowa by 11. And they beat Virginia by, I think, 23. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah. I don't see anybody hard for the rest of the season. That may be bad, though. Like, I like that Texas is versing three ranked teams at the end of February. Of course.
You'd like to see the competition. You know, you like to see the good game.
Gonzaga never has comp.
No.
But their team is always very good. But that's really it. I think that rounds everything out. Jake, you have anything else?
No, I think that's it, guys.
Yeah, so definitely follow this. Go listen to our last couple podcasts. But other than that, that's it. Thank you for listening, and we'll bring back with some more
and
NBA and college
don't forget to check us out on Instagram. We are the Court_Side Podcast on Instagram. We're growing, we're getting bigger, and we want to hear what you guys think. Our DMs are open. Our email is open for anybody or anybody that you want to see us try to get on the show. We're trying to get some athletes or some management people in the sports industry, definitely in basketball, to talk and give a listen.
Yeah, definitely.
Peace out, guys.
They wish and I wish and I wish and I wish and they wish and on me. Yeah. I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble with me.